This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. It's an election year, and the primary elections will be held August 5th. With the retirement of John Dingell, the 12th congressional district is open seat, and there's a contested race in the Democratic primary between Deborah Dingell, the wife of Congressman Dingell, and Ypsilanti attorney Raymond G. Mullins. And today we're talking with Debbie Dingell. Welcome.
Thank you, Lester. It's great to be here.
So your husband is the longest-serving member of the U.S. House of Representatives, and part of the reason he's leaving is frustration about the gridlock in the House. A lot of people talked about that. There's a little compromise. There's little working together between Republicans and Democrats. So you've seen that up close. Why in the world would you want to walk into that mess?
Because I think we live in the greatest country in the earth, and I think that we can't give up. And I think that I can help contribute to it. I'm somebody that has always worked with people from all sides and have a history in the state of putting together coalitions of people with very diverse opinions and trying to find some common ground. I think one of the problems in Washington is that people don't know each other. And it's very easy to demonize. This is making it way too simplistic. But I think some of the harsh words, some of the vitriolicness comes from people simply not knowing each other. It's one of the things that I've worked hard on. Perhaps I wrote my master's thesis, this is little known, on civility in the Congress in the 90s. I organized the bipartisan retreats. And I've talked to others about how we can just start to develop relationships again, because I think if we can get people talking, perhaps we can start to find common ground.
This sounds like something that Senator Durbin from Illinois has talked about. He's had these co-breakfasts where members of his caucus and from the Republicans also come in and just meet with citizens. It sounds interesting, but I think a lot of people, especially in Washington, would say maybe a little naive.
Well, I don't think it's naive. I'm going to tell you one project that I think about this all the time. You know, I've been in a unique role because I've worked in many different aspects. I tried to figure out how can you bring people together? What's a umbrella that would do it. Library of Congress is right across from the Capitol, geographically close. And a lot of people that get elected don't know the history of our country either. So I went to the head of the Library of Congress, Jim Billington, and said, what if we started a dinner series on history and invited House and Senate members and their spouses only, no staff, and had a dinner where House and Senate members, by the way, Republican House and Senate members, Democratic House and Senate members don't know each other either. We brought people together and mixed them up at a dinner table and learned some history at the same time. The first one we had, the person, I got the funding for it. We've gotten it all together. The first one we had, the person that was helped putting it together said, we'll be lucky to get 30 people. My staff said we won't get more than 30 people. The first one we had 90 House members and 25 senators.
Wow.
Joe Manchin made a point of going and finding Republican freshman members. The last one we did a couple of weeks ago, we had Doris Goodwin Kearns. We had 300 House and Senate members. Little, but people get to know each other. And when you talk to each other and you exchange ideas, you can find common ground.
Let's talk about some of the issues you'll be looking at. The 12th district lies within the Detroit metro area. It's been said if Detroit is not economically healthy, the entire state economy is affected. Many Republican members of Congress have made it clear they're not interested in bailing out Detroit. In fact, there's a lot of finger pointing indicating, see, this is what happens when Democrats control a city. Given that attitude in Washington, is there anything you can do to help Detroit recover if you're elected?
First of all, I think you'll see that the recovery of Detroit is being helped. People don't always agree with the way that it's happening, but Governor Snyder has worked very closely with Mike Duggan and others to address many of the problems. And I don't think we can look at somebody, I'm going to use a John Dingell phrase, that if you're in the boat, look at someone and say, pardon me, but your end of the boat is sinking. We're all in this together. We've got to figure out ways that we make Michigan a success. That means you got to help Detroit, give them a lending hand. They've got a lot of public-private sector partnerships going on of people trying to address the many challenges. I think as a state, we've got to look at new ways, think out of the box, work with the nonprofit community. and business and the government bringing people together to try to find solutions to the problems. We are not going to be okay. If Detroit's not okay, the rest of the state isn't going to be okay. But I've said to Mike Duggan, you also need to understand, and I have a great deal of respect for Mayor Duggan, but I want him to start doing more regional forums because he needs to understand how people in other cities who are having some of the same problems feel. And we've got to figure out how we're all going to start to think more regionally and address our problems regionally and look at shared services, among other things.
You've shown an interest and an involvement in education. You chair the Board of Governors of Wayne State University. We hear from some experts in the state who say Michigan won't see real recovery until we get more educated workers into the workforce. Governor Snyder has been restoring some of the cuts, but higher education saw some substantial cuts from the state. What can the federal government do to bolster higher education and at the same time improve K through 12 education?
It's one of the most important things we need to invest in. Every single Michiganian and American deserves a right to quality, affordable education. And we have disinvested in it this state. There was one time when Michigan was viewed as the model for higher education in this country. There is something wrong in this country where the increase in investment on education has gone up 21% in the last 20 years and in prisons has gone up 127%. We are not investing in higher ed enough. He restored some of the cuts this last time, but I'm watching what the impact is on the students that are at Wayne State. They can't afford to go there. It's taking them longer to finish. They're graduating with staggering debt. We have to invest. We have to make sure our young people can afford to go to college. And by the way, we need to also invest in K through 12. We've just been public education is a public good. It gives someone equal opportunity. You know, it
Let me stop you for a second because you can't twist the governor's arm. You're not going to be
it's true.
In the legislature. You're going to
so
be in Congress.
I got to do it at the higher level and be an advocate that's true. I just get going because I'm so upset about how we've cut the budget at Wayne State. It's one of the things that bothers me. But
we could start with loans. I mean, the president
has reduce the interest rate on student loans. Let's start there. The Republicans blocked it with a parliamentary move. There was a majority of votes to pass it out of the Senate, and it got blocked with a parliamentary move. One of the easiest things that we can and should do is just to reduce what the percentage student has to pay on that college loan.
For Michigan, the greatest need is more and better jobs. Republicans say that. Democrats say that. What can you do in Congress to make that a reality?
Well, this week you've seen the president's pushing and the House has pushed forward a manufacturing agenda. We can start with trade and how we need to be competing in a global marketplace. That is our reality. We need to make sure we're playing on a level playing field. And that, you know, if you look at Japan and China, they're very much partners with their businesses. They do manipulate the currency. And why is there a reason that only 1% of the market in Japan is American cars? Something's wrong on that. That's one of the first things you talked about. We just talked about education. We need to make sure we are educating young people for manufacturing. The other thing is we need to work together, business, labor, and government, to tell the story of how you can produce and manufacture in this country competitively. I think too many people have an image of labor being too expensive or not being able to do it competitively. Most people don't realize that the United States exceeded Saudi Arabia this past year in energy production. Energy is the second most significant cost of manufacturing in this country, and the costs of energy have significantly lowered, and we are competitive in this country.
Let's if you're elected and you're sworn in, first day on the job, what are you going to do? What's your top priority?
Getting to know my colleagues, working with other members in terms of what the Democratic priorities are going to – well, actually, I say Democratic because that's the caucus that I'm going to be with. But let's sit down and talk about what it is that we really want to get done and try to figure out – I think there's three things that are really absolutely critical. Manufacturing, how do we create more jobs? I think the recovery on this economy is not as strong as all of us would like it to be. So how do I immediately dig in and help support efforts to strengthen the economy? I'm very proud of the fact that I worked for the auto industry, that it's a backbone of Michigan's economy. I don't think we need to send any more critics down there of the auto industry. I think you need to hold them accountable. And I also think we need to diversify. But I'm proud of what our industry is in this state. And I also think that every American has a right to affordable, quality health care. Is the Affordable Care Act perfect? No. But instead of trying to repeal it 52 times, let's work to understand what's working, what's not, who's hurting from its being passed, and how do we improve it? And thirdly, as you and I just talked about, education, how to make it more affordable.
Debbie Dingell is a Democratic candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives in Michigan's 12th District. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.